When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Here's a reminder to sign up for our contest. We're giving away a $50 book, or should I say a $175 book. It's the Parallel Doctrine and Covenants that compares the 1832, 1833, and 1835 editions of the Doctrine and Covenants and shows the changes in each, parallel side by side. We've teamed up with Benchmark Books to give away this book, and we're excited to hold the contest on July 24th, 2017. Get your entry in by signing up for our newsletter at gospeltangents.com/newsletter. There are three Gospel Topics essays on LDS.org that deal with the topic of polygamy. It probably won't surprise you that Brian Hales played a significant role in this. However, there are two other authors who played a very significant role in the other two essays. Who are these women? We'll also ask Dr. Brian Hales if ward members know about his expertise on polygamy, as well as is he working on any other projects? Check out our conversation. Yeah, are you working on any other books or projects that you'd like to share with us?
Well, actually, yes, I am. I've kind of shifted gears. I had somebody ask me just last week, as Chris Smith, you know Chris, he's got his PhD, nice guy. He said, are you still writing on polygamy? And I paused for a minute. I thought, you know, I don't know what more there is to write. I'd love to write some more on polyandry. Dan Vogel and I have been having kind of a public disagreement on that topic, and there's no new evidence. He's not brought forth any, and I don't have any really to offer some of the things I alluded to here, but I'd love to see some new things come out on polyandry, and I would write on that. But pretty much I think everything that can be said without new evidence is kind of been said. So, but the thing that I would add as a response to your question, Rick, is that I've never been really comfortable with the naturalist's explanation of the text of the Book of Mormon. If you can see up here, maybe you can't, but there's all these versions of the Book of Mormon up here, the different printings year by year. And if you look at the naturalist view, it's this that Joseph got up one day and just started to dictate this text, the 116 pages, and then there's a pause, and then we go to Oliver Cowdery shows up, and then over a period of just a few weeks, he dictates 273,725 words, by my count, of the Book of Mormon text. That's the 1830 version. And I've just never been comfortable that Joseph could have dictated that, and so I've been investigating the different theories about that. I've written an article that I hope to have published, but in this article, what I did is I compared Joseph to other 24-year-old or younger authors who wrote big books, and I compared their education, I compared the word counts, and the complexity of their books. And when you line them all up, 24 years and older, Joseph was 23 when he dictated it, but it was published a year later at 24, and I have to use the publishing dates of these other books, okay, because they're obviously written before. But the biggest book written by anybody 24 or under is about 180,000. Joseph's book is almost 50% longer, okay?
180,000 words?
180,000 words versus 273,000. And then when you look at the complexity, and in fact, I've got them on the shelf here somewhere, but one of the books is it's just really simplistic. I tried to read it, but it's just, I couldn't get it. It's written for like a seventh grader or an eighth grader, but it's 180,000 words. And then there's a series by a guy named Christopher Paolini, the Aragon series. It's an independent series, it's called. But he wrote two books that were very long before the age of 24. But again, when you get into the text, this is just pretty simplistic stuff. You know, I mean, the names and everything are very, very different, not nearly as complex. There's no chiasmus or stylometric issues like with the Book of Mormon. So Joseph Smith is just curiously unique as an author of this Book of Mormon. And so I'm kind of focusing not only on the word count, but also the way it was presented, because the numbers don't lie. When people want to say, oh, you know, Tolkien wrote a book and that's just like Joseph writing the Book of Mormon, or Shakespeare had all these plays that are very complex, and that's just like Joseph Smith. When you get into the details, Joseph is unique. There is no one like Joseph who has come up with a book like the Book of Mormon. And that's what the evidence is showing. And in fact, when I was putting this chart together, I actually posted it on ex-Mormon Reddit. I thought, if there's something wrong with this, because the Book of Mormon is way, way out. It's just different. You know, whatever you want to say the reasons are, Joseph, as an author at age 23 or 24 of the Book of Mormon, he's different from any other author that I could identify. And they actually found one other author that was important. It was Paolini. But there's still nothing there. And so I'll be interested on the critics' view of these articles and things when they come out that I'm working on. And believe me, it's so much nicer than working on the controversial polygamy. I'm very happy to just be having fun with the Book of Mormon and how it has come forth. So
that's cool. I just remembered two more questions I wanted to ask you. The Gospel Topics essay. I understand, I was reading a blog post that I guess Elder Marlon Jensen recently said that basically they commissioned a bunch of scholars to kind of write a big essay, and then the church would kind of condense those down. I was just wondering, did you have anything to do with those Gospel Topics essays on polygamy?
Oh, yeah, I gave them a very long essay, then maybe a couple of years later, they sent me the Gospel Topic essay that was similar to what we have today, and I went through it all, and I think had one other meeting in the interim, maybe two, but I just went through and made recommendations on it, and every amendation I recommended in the text they accepted. There were some outside comments that I made some recommendations they did not, but they were very generous to allow me to do that. They do quote from the trilogy a number of times, and an article that I wrote is also referenced.
So that took a few years for that whole process to go through?
Yes, you know, originally they were thinking of doing long answer, medium answer, short answer. That was the first thing that was asked of me on the topic of polyandry. And then then I just sent them some general stuff, and I don't know how many iterations it went through there. Again, I was excited to contribute to that. And I only looked at the Nauvoo material. I know that they had, I know Catherine Danes helped out, and Kathleen Flake, I think, also, are the other two that did the other input on plural marriage. I hope they don't mind me saying that. But, you know, they wanted outsiders to critique it. I mean, if there were problems, they wanted to know about them before they published it.
Cool. And then my last question was, I know you're an active Latter-day Saint. You used to sing in the Tabernacle Choir. I would always tell my wife. My wife had a big goal that she would like to sing in there, and I'm like, I know that guy.
Good luck.
I'm just curious. Do your ward members know that you've written this big three-volume set, and do they ever ask you questions, or do they just not care?
You know, most of them don't know. We were at a ward party one time, and we were sitting by some younger couples that I didn't know because they just split our ward and rearranged the ward boundaries, and there was a young gal sitting right across from me, and she goes, "Wait, you're Brian Hayes." She's really surprised, and actually she'd run into my CES letter material, because I've got a website that I think exposes the CES letter, and so she was surprised that way. But overall, I think most of them don't know Craig Foster, who is also a polygamy scholar, especially on fundamentalism. He's in my ward, and we were just talking on Sunday, and we just said, you know, nobody in here really knows that we're doing all this controversial stuff. The bishop knows, and our state president knows, and of course they're very supportive. But it's just what I tell people is, if you don't have a problem with polygamy, then just don't worry about it. I mean, it's hard to make polygamy make you feel good because of how unfair it is on earth. And so if I don't even tell them about my books, because it can create, you know, questions and things that, if their faith is good without it and all, I don't know, think they need to know every nuance about what's happened historically. On the other hand, I do advise people to inoculate themselves and their families, so that the first place, if they see it on the internet, they've said, "Oh yeah, I know about that." And I'll plug my wife's book, A Reason for Faith, 17 chapters by an expert. On all of the controversies in the church. I highly recommend that people buy that, A Reason for Faith. It comes as a CD as well. But they, Paul Reeve, who you interviewed, he wrote the chapter on race and priesthood. Laura and I did two chapters on polygamy, but there's Book of Abraham, Kinderhook Plates, homosexuality. Richard Bushman did a chapter on treasure digging. So at least if you've read a book like that, and it's not a big book, it's an easy read. At least you're kind of inoculated to these kinds of things. So if you have a question, you don't have to panic. Oh yeah, I never heard of that kind of thing.
So does the bishop and state president ever send people your way? Say, straighten these people out.
actually, we meet with quite a few.
Oh really?
People, and they some of them come with faith, and we can give answers, and then they go away happier. I mean, it isn't an easy, you know, click your fingers, I'm doing better thing, but. But we always tell people, just keep learning. Be transparent. Learn everything. Don't give up till you've learned. You know, you don't have to give up faith today. Find out what's going on. You can read the antis, but read the answers, read the responses. And yet other times when Laura and I meet with people, it's just, I think, a box that they have to check as they're on their way out of the church. Oh yeah, I met with the Hales, they didn't help. And so they've kind of already given up their faith. But the only thing I would say is, if you've got questions, dive in. I believe there's somebody in the church who knows more about it than the person who wrote whatever you're reading on the internet, and they still believe. Mm-hmm. And with respect to plural marriage, we certainly have read a lot. And it strengthened my belief in Joseph. It didn't make me like polygamy. I don't. I'd never want to do it. But my belief in him as a true prophet has just been strengthened.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this time that you've spent here with me on Gospel Tangents. And if I have any more questions, can I call you again?
Sure.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's great. Thank you. Okay.
We'll see you. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Brian Hales. We'll continue to talk about the Book of Mormon in our next several conversations with David Rosenvall. He actually has the claim to fame of helping the church write the scriptures on scriptures.lds.org. Did you know that this actually led to his interest in a new theory on the Book of Mormon geography?
So we have an electronic version of the scripture, probably the first one. In fact, I know it was the first one in the church. Didn't even have one that had the footnotes and everything. And it was about the year 2000, we had been maintaining this, that we donated all of this text, all linked up in a format that the internet could use. And in 2000, that became scriptures.lds.org. And for about 10 years, we maintained that for the church, and we did about 22 languages for them. And we got very intimate with the scriptures. We got a really great understanding of them.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.